from our friends at Hamster as part of the Arcade Archives collection. That, Shock Troopers, World Heroes, and I think it's King of Fighters 98 are available on the Japanese eShop. Along with a bunch of other shit. I guess some of that stuff's out in the U.S. pretty soon. Like, Blaster Master Zero is out on the 9th. But it's out there now, and it's fully in English. So, I bought that. Hamster stuff is same price as it is on PlayStation 4. 823 yen. I also bought Othello for 500 yen. A real classic. I think Arc System Works put Othello out, which is weird. Oh, there's people walking here, and there's a car heading my way, and I sure hope I don't get hit by this taxi. We're fine. Everything's fine. I played the Neo Geo games on, like, in a portable mode with the controllers docked, and that D-pad that is just four buttons is not great for fighting games. So, you know. There's that. That's unfortunate. I mean, I'm able to do dragon punches and such, but you wonder how the online stuff is going to shake out. I don't think we'll know until summer. So I think their app's not coming out until summertime. Bomberman does have online multiplayer. I was trying to play it this morning, and it just seemed to not connect to a server or something. Like, I was getting an error message. So I don't know if that's up by now or what the deal is. I brought all that shit home. I'll probably mess with it a little bit more. I might buy one more Japanese eShop card and maybe buy a couple more games, but we probably have more than enough. But it sounds like the version of Disgaea that's up, I was reading a list of what was on the eShop. I don't know if it was someone who had checked and knew for certain. It seemed, you know, they seemed to be coming at it from a position of knowing for sure. But it sounded like that version of Disgaea is in English, if your console is set to English. So, you know, normally I would say, oh, hey, like, why have two separate accounts? And sometimes there's some weird stuff around having those accounts. But it seems like you can, you know, as long as that my Japanese account is activated on that Switch, any account on that Switch can play those games. So even if they were to suddenly be all, you know, if you wanted to play all your games on one account because you've got one friends list or whatever the fuck you're doing, I would say normally because you want to keep all your achievements or trophies or whatever all on one account, but that's not a factor here. So it's really just about, like, what account do you want to have your save data attached to or something. The Switch needs to be updated to allow authentication internet. How will I update to access the internet in the first place? Yep. It's a great question. You'll need to tether it to your phone or take it somewhere to a friend's house or something fucked up like that, or use a Wii U wired LAN adapter, Ethernet to USB. So I have multiple accounts on the Switch. Allows you to play multiple games on that single console, like play Japanese games on the U.S. account. Yes, there's no restriction on what account you're playing as. But it sounds like your account can only be active on one console at a time. So I've got my U.S. and my Japanese account active on this device. If I were to deactivate the Japanese account, then the U.S. account would no longer be able to play those Japanese games, even though they are still installed, I guess. Or probably still installed. And, so yeah, I guess when I get my Switch tomorrow, I will have to deactivate those accounts from that Switch and reactivate them on my home Switch. I don't know how save data will migrate, if it will migrate. Because I was playing those games before the launch, the shipping firmware 1.0 doesn't even let you format the SD card. If you have it in there and it's FAT32, it'll work. But I put it in formatted to XFAT, and it would just be like, yo, you need to update. You need system update, fool. And then when I did that system update, it just recognized the card. It wasn't even... I was like, if you want to use SDXC cards, you need to fucking system update. So as soon as I installed firmware 2.0, the card just worked. And all the games I'm downloading are installing to that micro SD card, not to... the NAND, I guess, the internal storage. So I don't see any, like, maybe it's in the game, maybe, so if you hit the start or the plus button when you're hovering over a game on the main menu, it gives you some options. Maybe there's an option there to deal with save data? I don't know. I'll probably yank that micro SD card out and see what the fuck's on that card in terms of saves or files or whatever. It'd be nice if I could just move that card over to the other Switch and not have to re-download all that shit again, but none of it's that big. Instead of a proper friend system that uses an ID or whatever, you have friend codes and Facebook, I guess. I don't even know if it... I don't think it uses Facebook for friends. It will pull in... So if you have built friends lists on Miitomo or Super Mario Run, I presume Fire Emblem as well, I don't know... and you've linked your account ID in those games, so that's for all that stuff. There's a suggested friends function on the Switch. So, like, the ways to send friend requests, what is it? It's like, enter a friend code, search for players you have played games with before, search locally, so like if someone else is on a Switch nearby, it'll be like, touch the card icon at the same time and you'll be friends. I don't remember there being a social network function there, but I guess... I don't know, that seems like it should be there, but I don't know. A lot of things feel like it should be there. So, like, at no point... Like, so the Nintendo account process has you enter, like, a username that you can use to log in instead of your email address, and it seems like that address has to be... Or that name has to be unique. There's another nickname field that doesn't have to be unique, but you can... But it seems like that field has to be unique, but that field doesn't show anywhere on your profile. Like, the thing that... So I'm getting friend requests from, like, Chris! With, like, zero information about who Chris is. Chris is just someone who probably saw my friend ID and entered it. But if it was someone I knew, I'd be like, I don't know. I know a handful of people named Chris. You just ran a red light, you piece of shit. Fucking asshole. So that stuff's really strange because you're just getting friend requests from people, and like all the user icons are stock. You know, you can use a me if you want to. I'm gonna go as long as I can without actually creating a me on my Switch. But it's like, you know, 30 or, you know, 40 stock icons. Like, it's a picture of Luigi. It's a picture of polygonal Luigi. It's a fire flower. It's a picture of Tom motherfucking Nook. If you want other people to see your profile and go, oh shit, that motherfucker's gonna break me. It's gonna come up on these bells. Is the mobile app up yet? The mobile app that is launching today is only parental control stuff. It's not for any online functionality. The online beta service starts in the summer. It's probably going to start when Splatoon comes out. So I don't know, just the ability to, like, and I can't even see what a person's username is or I can't even see what their friend code is once they've sent me a request. So I can't, like, go ask the Chris's I know, hey, are you SW-5047-? Like, you can't even fucking do that. So, I mean, the friend system seems like it's really built for people you know. And don't give your code out to people you don't know. It doesn't seem great. It seems bad. It seems like a friend code-based system. It seems like the systems they've done before. It seems bad. Tom Nook is the original Mr. Shakedown. I don't know. There's neat stuff about it. I really am going to do my best to give Zelda another honest shot. Hopefully I can move my save over, and keep playing from where I'm at. Because I just don't really think I just don't really think I'm digging the way that game does exploration. It's a very large world, and that's cool, but then, like, it just, I don't know, a lot of it felt kind of empty, and I don't really like the climbing mechanic that much, because you climb so fucking slowly, and then all that is governed by your stamina meter, which is a thing you have to upgrade, and you have to choose whether you want hearts or stamina when it gets to be upgrade time, and it's... And, you know, by the end of the game, you have the opportunity to have plenty of both, I'm sure, but I don't know. Like, that stuff just... Stuff like, there's a lot of cooking in that game. And after you cook something, you can hit a button to see what you used to make it. Like, here's the recipe. But there's no in-game recipe book that says, here are the recipes you've created or maybe heard about or something like that to kind of let you very quickly make something if you have the ingredients or something like that. At least, it's the sort of thing that you're like, man, that's got to be in there somewhere. And so I'm sitting here going like, maybe I missed it. I don't, maybe I'm crazy. But like, instead it's like, when you go to the menu of when you go to your inventory and you have like a leg of a bird leg and a, you know, raw meat from a bird and a spicy pepper, which if you cook those two things, it lets you make something that restores a couple of hearts and also is good in cold environments. So if you're climbing up high, you need to deal with that. But I need to select it. The first option on the menu is eat. You don't want to eat it raw. I need to go down to hold. And then then I'm in hold mode. And the second thing I go to and hit A, it's, you can hold up to 5 things at a time for the purpose of cooking ingredients. And then once you're holding them all, you walk up to the cooking pot. Hopefully the fire is lit on it or else you fucked up and have to start all over. And then drop them all in. Then it plays a fun little tune, which is, I will grant you, fun. And then you have the item that you can then pick up and then go into your menu and eat. And it seems like you have to do that every time. So if I had 5 legs and 5 spicy peppers, and I want to make 5 spicy meats, like, it didn't seem like there was any kind of shortcut of, like, yes, I want to make the spicy thing again. It's not fun to do that. Or, you know, like I'm not hating that mechanic, but, like, the idea of, like, hey, here's a 90-hour game where cooking is an incredibly important part of it. So before big fights, you're going to want to sit down and prepare a bunch of stuff. To have that preparation interface be, like, so manual just seems really weird. Like, it just seems like it's missing. Like, I should be able to just go make 5, go, and then fucking cook, man. I don't know, like, that... stuff just seems backwards. Or, like, you know, the way the map works. Like, you know, if you find a place that's a fast travel point, it shows up on the map, and, or when you get there, it shows up on the map, and you can fast travel back there and all that sort of stuff. But, like, the rest of it is you plotting down points on the map, which in some ways is cool. I don't know. I go back and forth on that one. Like, I don't know that marking the map is, like, necessarily a thing that I'm going to get a lot of pleasure out of, as opposed to just, like... because, like, it has towers, and you climb up towers, and then you walk up to a terminal at the top of the tower, and then it goes synchronizing, and it fills in the, like, topography. Like, there's a mountain, there's this, that fills in the terrain of the area you're in. But it does not mark it with objectives or side quests, or, you know, like, it's not like a Ubisoft tower. So when you get up there, then it's like, well, this is a high vantage point, and now I need to use my binoculars or scope or whatever it is to look around. And then when you're aiming at something in that first person view, you can hit a button and it will plop a pin on your map, which, to be fair, like, it works well. I think it works well. But, like, like, large parts of that world just feel like there's not that much going on in them. So I... like, the idea that I'd have to, like, find a high spot and look around and all this stuff, like it just seems like the game is really built around, like, that type of meandering exploration, and I think that's cool. There aren't a lot of games that do that, and I think most of the games that do that don't do it particularly well. This seems like it at least it nails what it's going for, but I just don't know if that's, like, something I'm gonna find fun for the full length of this game. At some point, it's just like, yeah, just tell me where the fucking thing is. and go over there and do it. I wander around the wilderness fighting the same monsters over and over again. Yeah, maybe you spend more time on a horse, it's less of a thing, but I don't know. Like, I think that all these things could potentially be positive for some players as well. You know, I obviously, reading the reviews and stuff like that, there are people that are just like, this sense of wonder and exploration and all this. And I'm like, But is that something you really want? I don't know. Maybe that's just not for me. Not that I think that, like, hey, fill up the map with a zillion side objectives is, like, necessarily, like, great. Especially after so many other games have done that, but... yeah, I don't know. There are a couple of cool moments where, you know, they'll guide you to something without telling you exactly where it is, and they're actually giving you directions that you kind of have to pay attention to, which is a neat thing. It's like, oh, go out here and go up, and then this road turned left, and you're like, oh, okay, shit, I should remember that, or just kind of mark this stuff on my map and try to figure it out. They're like, ah, it's just to the west of these mountains. You're like, all right, shit. All right, well, I'm going to go in this general area, and hopefully I'll find it. And then I spent a long time running in that direction, doing not much else on my way there, other than getting in a couple of fights. You know, maybe I'd feel better if, like, the fights had a positive benefit to you. It's like, the game doesn't have experience points. It's not like, combat has no reward, really. Other than, you know, they might drop their weapons. If you need more weapons, you know, you always need more weapons. But at some point, you're breaking your existing weapons to get new weapons. If you're just fighting on your way somewhere, fighting just kind of these run-of-the-mill enemies. So at some point, I was like, I'm just going to run. Like, they don't drop anything of value. They're not dropping rupees. They're not dropping hearts. They're not... so, fuck it. I'm just going to go. And just ran away from them for what felt like 10 minutes. Like, all right, well, made it to this town. It was exactly where the dude said it was. That's cool. And, you know, like, some of the flavor is kind of rubbing me the wrong way, too. Like, it's, you know, at some point it's just minor shit. But, like, you'll happen upon these camps with enemies in them, you know, four or five of them, a couple of lookouts, a couple of guys hanging out by a fire, and there's always a chest around there that you can't open until all the enemies in the camp are dead. And I don't know why this rubbed me the wrong way. It just seems out of place. As you're clearing them out, as you finish clearing them out and it shows you the chest kind of unlocking, it plays like a boxing ring or like a rest, you know, like a bell. Like a ding ding, like you finish the fight. And it just, I don't know, it just seems corny. Like, I don't know that I like the instrumentation of the "you did a secret thing" music in this game. You know, like, little things like that are just, I don't know, it's just not landing with me. So, I don't know, like, everyone is so fucking head over heels about it that I am gonna play some more and see if it eventually clicks. Like, I just don't know. Like, there are things about it, the later parts of the game, that sound really great. But I just don't know. You know, inventory restrictions seem really light, but there's got to be an upgrade path for that, because... like, that game is about hoarding as many weapons as you can, and I feel like I've spent, like, a not insignificant amount of time, like, going through my full inventory of melee weapons, selecting the one with the lowest number next to it, and then throwing it so I can pick up a better weapon. Like, it's just a lot of, like management stuff, like, management tasks like that. It's just... it feels the opposite of streamlined. And, you know, like, I'll grant you that, like, a lot of games that we think of as streamlined are also and not difficult. So, you know, like, obviously, that's what they're going for. I don't know, at some point you don't need to pick up that fifth club. Actually, with the way combat can go in that game sometimes, like, I've run out of weapons in a fight. I've been like, oh, shit, I have nothing. Okay, wait, I killed this one guy. Or, hey, I'll pull up my bow, finish this one guy off, he'll drop his club, and then I'll have at least something. But yeah, I don't know. I'm going to try to stick with it. And see if it clicks. I just don't know. It's a very curious thing. It's not that I don't necessarily dislike it as a game. I really kind of respect the thing they made, because it is really fucking, like, it's left field in a lot of ways. You know, I mean, obviously, like, to me, it doesn't really feel like a Legend of Zelda game yet. And maybe it will by the end or something. But, like, it feels like a different game that they have peppered with Legend of Zelda stuff. Meaningful characters and the situation and the kingdom and stuff like that. But, like, if you told me that this was a game made by a small team in Europe, and they are making it in homage to The Legend of Zelda, and, you know, obviously you change the way the character looks and some of the other stuff to be non-infringing or whatever, I would totally believe you. Like, this exact same game, but, you know, like, slightly different art that was less Nintendo-y or something like that. I would absolutely believe that this design would come from some completely different style of team. That's neither good nor bad. You know, it just doesn't feel like it fits with the other Zelda games. Until on the podcast when John reminded, you know, kind of said, like, oh, does it feel like the first Zelda game? That sense of exploration is like, oh, you know, yeah, I suppose that's probably what they were going for. At the same time, that first game was a smaller world. And very, you know, screen by screen, you could cover that landmass pretty easily and get a sense of what's going on. So I don't know. It seems like a really strong and fantastic achievement, and I think it's awesome that they made it, and I think it's cool that people are digging it so much. I'll be really curious to see what people think, like, a week from now, you know, as more and more people get the game, finish the game, all that sort of stuff, like if people are going to be as head over heels with it. Probably will be. I mean, they had to go buy a new system to play it, right? Well, I guess they didn't have to, but... I don't know. I don't know what I want. I don't know what the actual answer is, though. You know, like, at the same time, like, you know, I think it's great that they're doing something very different from other open world games. In terms of structure and just, like the hand-holdiness of it. But there's some stuff that's just, like, you would think of as, like, a quality of life situation. Of, like, hey, maybe make the cooking interface be proper instead of this kind of... It's a crappy system. That's one part, you know. Someone tried to tell me, no, I love the way the cooking system is built. I'd be like, okay, you're just out of your mind now. Maybe you find a recipe book later. I don't know. Maybe that's all just early game stuff that goes away as you upgrade. I really like the idea that there doesn't seem to be, like, a set progression through it, or at least that's what I've gotten from reading reviews, is that notion that, like, you can kind of try to finish the game whenever. It'll just be really fucking hard if you don't prepare for it. Like, that's neat. Released these day one patch for Zelda today, as well as bringing all the other online stuff up. Of the physical games that I have, 1-2 Switch is the only game that did not take a patch. Bomberman, Zelda, and Just Dance all took patches. Day one patch for Zelda, I don't really know what it does. There's no patch notes, but it does add the ability to buy the season pass from the main menu. It adds a downloadable content item on the main menu that wasn't there before. Though I wonder if that's only there because I'm playing online. I wonder if I was in airplane mode and launched the game, if that would just not be there. It was just a factor of, like, oh, the store is just not up or whatever. I really like that Link looks so different as you purchase new outfit parts and new armor stuff. Like, I think that's great. That it's not just like, hey, you got the red ring, blue ring. Not that it's been just that for years or whatever, but, you know, now it's like, okay, I'm going to buy a different piece of head armor, I'm going to buy a different pair of pants. Got this different shirt. So I bought like a balaclava or something. It covers your mouth like a ninja hood that actually does increase your stealthiness when you wear it, which is cool. There's a lot going on, right? I mean, whatever, it's a huge fucking game. Like, remarkably so. So, you know, I'm not sitting here thinking that I think all of it's terrible or anything nuts like that. It's just, I don't know, it's just not clicking together for me. So, let's see. I'm glad I remembered to get a Japanese eShop account up and running tonight, before that stream tomorrow. It's nice to have, like, four more games to show. It's just kind of not a ton. I heard this at one point and then didn't realize it until after I made the purchase or whatever, but they don't do a great job of labeling it either. The Shovel Knight stuff. Like, there are two Shovel Knights in the eShop, and one is the, like, the new campaign or whatever, and then one is all of Shovel Knight, all their DLC, all their stuff, all in one thing, including the thing that is sold separately. So it's like, hey, if you already played a bunch of Shovel Knight, you can just buy the new thing here. But it doesn't do a great job of saying, like, it doesn't do a fantastic job of saying, like, hey, don't buy both of these. Definitely don't do that. They sent over a code for the new bit, the standalone campaign, the new thing. But then I, in a flurry of just going, like, well, gotta get all these games for the stream tomorrow, I spent $25 on the complete Shovel Knight that has that same stuff in it. Which, whatever, it's fine. We'll show them both, I guess. Hopefully we can help people to understand that and not accidentally buy both. Yeah, I was looking at the Shovel Knight website a couple hours ago, and they have just like a long Q&A trying to explain why they sell the stuff standalone at all, and what Treasure Trove is, which is, they're like, hey, it's all here, and how the free updates will work, and so on and so forth. And it's not well explained. Like, it seems like this could be, it feels like this all could have been explained in a much more concise, easy to follow manner. Now that it's getting out there, I wonder if the tabs on the controllers that hold them in place will be a problem for people over time. I mean, you know, I broke ours all at once, like an oaf, but at the same time, it is this, like, plastic-on-metal situation that seems like the sort of thing that would just wear down on its own over time. Controllers feel all right, but that one element of them does not seem as sturdy as you would want it to be. I wonder. Get like a shock situation, like dropping it, but just like through regular use, like normal wear and tear, seemed like it would eventually wear down those plastic tips. Also, it's a handheld device that people will probably give to kids. I don't know. Kids probably drop shit, too. I don't know. We'll see. I wonder. That seems like the sort of thing that could be an issue. Seems like something that could have been just those tabs could have been built more sturdily or something. I don't know. Still talking about Zelda down there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Zelda needs to change. And it did. So, if nothing else, good on them for making something dramatically different and having it be a core-ass, core main line big Zelda game. It's not some offshoot, it's not a Link Between Worlds, it's not Spirit Tracks, it's not, you know, not a handheld game. Well, I guess it technically is a handheld game. Not some side thing. It's like, yo, check it out. It's the next Legend of Motherfucking Zelda, and it is totally different. Good. Good. It's needed that for over a decade. Mario will end up being dramatically different. Like, it kind of just, I mean, it doesn't, it looks like a big, crazy expansion of some of their traditional polygonal Mario game mechanics, you know, Mario 64 and Galaxy. I am excited for that. I really liked the way Mario Odyssey looked. That thing looks cool. That hat jump thing seems like some next level platforming ass shit. That's cool. Maybe I'll get into Splatoon 2 a bit more than I got into Splatoon 1. Not that Splatoon 1 was a bad game or had any problems with it. I just, you know, did my time with it, enjoyed it, and moved on. Did not stick with it the way some other people did. If they're expanding on the single player stuff this time around, that could be really cool. It's just a great world. Being able to do more and see more of
that world and that aesthetic and stuff like that, I think would go a long way. Like a good kind of campaign thing or something.
Trying to think what else they got coming. I guess it's like Mario Kart, which I don't really care about. Never did. And I'm excited to play some Snipper Clips tomorrow. I downloaded it and then deliberately did not launch it because I played it at that event and don't want to play it again until we're streaming. Because then I'll be playing with someone as opposed to like testing it out and like, does this work, this controls work, like, whatever, man, hold it until we're doing it. Snipperclips seems like it'll be real fun. That's like $20. I wonder how many levels it has. I guess I wonder if the eShop descriptions say
think about that. Man,
video games. There's a bunch of them. Feels good. Have a bunch of games out. A bunch of new shit to play around with. I spent a lot of time today just fucking around with the Switch, just like going through menus and looking at stuff now that the firmware is up to date. And you're like, alright, well, what's... how's this online stuff actually going to work? Trying to get it on our Wi-Fi. I got it on our public Wi-Fi again this evening before I left, and it stayed on that time, but like when I was doing it this morning, I got it connected, it worked for a couple of minutes, and then just died, and I couldn't get it to reconnect. I don't know. It didn't seem reliable, but... but it works good fine, too. Like, I bought all those Japanese games on our public Wi-Fi and all that other stuff. It still won't work with our, like, corporate-ass Wi-Fi network with all of its, like, username and password authentication stuff. But that's... I ain't too shocked about that. That doesn't seem too... like, that makes sense. Like, all right. Weird-ass company Wi-Fi. Maybe they're not going to bring your video game system in and connect it to that, so... and then Nier is out. I'm bummed that Nier is coming out and then I'll be out of town. Wildlands as well. Cocaine Climax, the video game. be curious to see how they handle the 3DS now that the Switch is out also. For all their talk about how the 3DS is not dead and all this stuff, like... You know, how many games are being actively developed for the 3DS by Nintendo's internal studios? Not games that have already come out in Japan that'll still get localized over here, but like new development. I feel like the promise of the Switch is that you will get all of Nintendo's best minds working on one platform and not two. And there's power in that. They can build up a good mass of software that way and really... really go for it. But if they are still keeping like 1 foot or half a foot in the 3DS and devoting, you know, their in-house talent to coming up with new 3DS projects, like that just seems backwards to me. I get that the 3DS has a good install base and it's a popular platform, but like they need to make the case for Switch ASAP. They need to build that library and build up their whatever their slate of upcoming games. Like, they need to fill up with some announcements, like, soon. I think, to make that thing make sense, you know, and they'll get a ton of indie games and stuff like that, the way they, you know, the way they announced a bunch of stuff just this week. They'll get that stuff. But I think they just... They would be hurting the Switch's chances of lasting success if they continued to, you know, invest heavily in in-house 3DS software development. If they just want to take some fucking money and throw it at some other, you know, developers and stuff like that, and be like, hey, we want to make a sequel to this thing you made, or, you know, like all that sort of stuff, and get some 3DS games out that way, like, no problem. Whatever. I might say that even that money might be better spent on games for the Switch library, but you know, you don't want intelligent systems, or, you know, you don't want squandering efforts on a 3DS game when the Switch is out. If you're a new Switch owner, you don't want to hear about new 3DS games. You want to go all in on this thing that is more powerful and has all this potential that just launched and is new and exciting. Like, fucking get behind it. Don't talk about how you're like, oh, well, you know, we got all these phone games coming up and we're pretty excited about that stuff. And, oh, you know, 3DS still got a big install base. Like, yeah, it does. It totally does. But I feel like to really accomplish what they need to accomplish with the Switch, it has to be every team. It has to be all hands on deck for that thing. They make their own fate with that because, I mean, Nintendo more than any other hardware manufacturer makes their own fate, right? I mean, third parties don't do it for them. They haven't for four platforms now, really. If I'm Nintendo, I've got the next Pokemon game in development on Switch right now. You know, not day one, nothing crazy like that. But I'd be sending that clear message by, you know, like when that game gets announced, it's like, hey, the Pokemon franchise, the next two games of the Pokemon franchise here on the Switch. I don't think I would do a like Sun and Moon Enhanced Edition or anything like that.
Like, I don't think I would undercut the 3DS game or anything by rushing out, you know, versions of that game, of those games, for the Switch or anything like that. But I on a go-forward basis, absolutely. Absolutely make that a Switch game. Yeah, yeah, there's always the possibility that they go cross-platform with it, you know, bridge the gap that way. But that's a good reason for people to not buy a Switch, you know, and for everything to line up on the Switch the way it kind of has to, for it all to, you know, justify itself and all that stuff. Like, they kind of need people to move over. I wonder, you know, it's like, you look at all the marketing and look at all their slick, like, rooftop party, adults having adult time, fun time moments and stuff. I mean, that's cool, whatever. Like, yeah, sure, of course. Like, Nintendo's games have wide appeal. So certainly show that, but... You don't really see too many kids in their marketing for the Switch. And I wonder if that's like, why is it that way? Why have they not shown that much? Do they think that it's just like... Is it the device too pricey that they don't necessarily want it to be seen as buy this for your kids because your kids might break, you know, like what's, I don't know what they're, what, if anything, they're saying or not saying there. Because you look at it, you know, it doesn't look like a toy. You know, I just guess with the neon Joy-Cons, it looks a little goofy, I think. But it's got a sleek look. You know, it looks like a very modern device and all that sort of stuff. Like, it's tablet-like. You can do stuff with it. You know, it's cool. It's a cool-looking thing. I don't know, I guess they did launch a parental controls app and all that other stuff today, so clearly they do think about kids using that thing, so... Eh. I wonder how it'll go. Long term. It's just, there's so much possibility and potential around the Switch. And some of it, like... It already feels like they're getting some of it wrong, but at the same time, a lot of that potential is still there. Like, you know, the friend code stuff, you know, the online functionality and some of that stuff. You're just like, come on, guys, this is not a winning strategy. Like, who benefits from this? Especially the thing that you showed as, like, adults being adults playing it. Like, you know, maybe friend codes don't need to be the way to go. Like, those were originally something you kind of presented as, like, it's safe for kids. Like, all right, well. What about everybody else?
maybe it's just hard to, you know, like obviously that's how it is today, but maybe it's hard to really get a true sense for that stuff until they get their beta launched, and maybe once the online service is actually in place, it'll be what you might actually want it to be. Ditch all that stuff, start surfacing the user IDs or the names or whatever instead of the friend codes. So right now it just seems like a step backwards from the Wii U in terms of just like ability to communicate with other users and all that stuff. Like there's no messaging at all. There's no Miiverse, there's no... I can see which of my friends is online and what they are doing, and that's kind of about it. If the friend system is all integrated with social media, why worry about in-system friends? Yeah, I mean, maybe by the time they roll that thing out, that actually, maybe that'll be their approach. But right now, it's not that. Right now, it's friend codes and standing face-to-face with somebody or meeting them in a game and adding them as a friend, even though you can't really communicate with them at this point. Also, I guess the only online game's Bomberman, right? Is that? At least in the U.S. I don't know. Whole lot of questions still remain, and I've been sitting on one of these things for over a week. I'm still just like, I don't know, we'll see how some of this stuff goes. Kind of hard to tell, but whatever. We'll be back. I'll be back in the morning, and we'll run a stream and play some video games. See how it all goes. See you then.